I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome to 40 Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, we got to talk about housing discrimination as the Baltimore Council, County Council has approved a bill to protect renters using housing vouchers. Stay riding with me. It's all happening here on 40 Culture.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome to 40 Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening for another exciting edition of tonight's show. Got a lot to talk about, man. We got some great topics for you. We got to talk about what's happening out of Baltimore County, as the Baltimore County Council has approved a bill to protect renters from housing income discrimination. The bill is called the HOME Act. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about it. Of course, we're going to talk about the implications of this bill. And of course, I want to get your thoughts on it, as there is some new and some expanding conversation about voucher holders. We'll talk about that. Plus, we did not talk about it yesterday, but I got to get to it today. The planned execution for Mr. Rodney Reed down in Texas. There's a new development in the story where a new witness claims he's innocent. However, the governor of the state of Texas is saying they're going to move forward with the execution. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. And then later, if we get an opportunity, folks, we got to talk about this Popeye's chicken sandwich stabbing that happened. I'm going to give you some clarity on the story. It's not what you think. It really isn't. All right. But before we get started with tonight's show, I want to welcome you, because it is Happy Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.
Thank you, LeBron. That's what we do. It's officially Tuesday, folks. One day closer to Wednesday. Oh man. Can I just say this very quickly? We really do have to fix something with traffic in the city of Baltimore. Traffic circulation and flow in the city of Baltimore is like, it's a little jagged and rigid. I know. Yes. Can we give a round of applause for that thought, Dre Day? Thank you. Real talk, we need to fix traffic, because driving through city of Baltimore sometimes is absolutely light. It can, depending on the road that you drive, folks, you might miss a part of your life. Let me tell you, it's absolutely painstaking. So just want to throw that out there. Setting up traffic patterns and synchronizing lights in the city of Baltimore. Please, please, please do something good for mankind. Or at least your neighbor here in Baltimore, and fix traffic. All right, there we go. All right, folks, speaking of policy and fixing stuff, Baltimore County has officially made it known they have approved legislation yesterday that prohibits landlords from rejecting renters solely because they use federal housing vouchers. Now, there were four Democrats on the council that voted for the bill, and then three Republicans that voted against the bill. The bill called the Baltimore County HOME Act, which is aimed to ban discrimination based on a person's source of income. Now, according to County Executive Mr. Johnny Olszewski Jr., It was required to introduce the bill as part of his 2016 county agreement with the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. And Mr. Olszewski says discrimination in any form is wrong. He said implementation of the law, which is similar to others around the country, is straightforward. He said we're not going to see a dramatic change overnight. However, he expects that this bill will at least show some signs of progress for the county. Now, supporters for the bill said that they will open up more parts of the county to low-income renters who use federal housing vouchers, commonly referred to as Section 8. Now, currently, there are nearly 60% of Baltimore County's 5,600 voucher users live in just 7 zip codes on the county's east and west side. Now, voucher users in the county say it can be difficult to find a rental. Now, on the other side of that, opponents say that the bill forces landlords into the federal program, which requires additional paperwork and inspections and can mean additional time before renters are approved. Some residents have said that they're worried about the bill's effect on their neighborhoods. Now, landlords still will be able to vet potential renters by reviewing criminal history, running credit checks, and, of course, requesting rental history, among other methods. Now, two members of the council, Julian Jones of Woodstock and Izzy Potaka of Pikesville, had said previously they would support the bill. They were joined in approving the bill by Democratic colleagues Kathy Bevins of Middle River and Tom Quirk of Oriella. Now, Bevins and Quirk voted against the bill when it was brought up in 2016 and failed on a 6-1 vote. Potaka was elected to the council late last year. And then Bevins called the Home Act the most misunderstood bill that the council has ever had in front of them during her time on the council. She said it's not about forcing a Section 8 mandate in people's neighborhoods. She said it's not about that. And so there has been a lot of back and forth, but it was a pass, folks. So tonight, I want to talk about this particular bill, the Home Act. Do you think it's a good piece of legislation? Do you think this will help to change, remove some of the discrimination around housing income? What are your thoughts on this? The Home Act, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. I want to hear your thoughts about this because I think it's an important part of the discussion. There are a lot of folks that feel a certain way about it. And I know us. If I know us like I know us, actually, we're not on the same page about this issue. We are not on the same page about this issue at all, folks. Actually, we look at this issue from a lot of different perspectives. And I want to throw a couple of those perspectives out there because just as much as there are some folks that are in need of housing, There are, and of course, this level of subsidy and assistance from the government, then there are some folks who have, quote unquote, created their own condition where they're kind of compelled to be in this space. So what are your thoughts on this? The Baltimore County Home Act, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. I want to talk about discrimination. I want to talk about does this help or hurt the county of Baltimore? Can we talk about that? Because I think that's important, right? And what about those who are living in these neighborhoods? What about those that are living in these neighborhoods and they open it up? Plus, on the other side, as I just mentioned, how some folks believe that this type of bill will put more pressure and responsibilities on landlords. It will be landlords, right? I mean, let's be honest, folks. Let's be honest. Can I keep it real? Okay, let me keep it real very quickly. Landlords in the city of Baltimore are not bad people, but they have a terrible history in the city of Baltimore. And so for me, I'm thinking maybe the Baltimore City Council should possibly think about putting this bill up for a conversation. Can we talk about that? Because we got some real issues with landlords and those receiving housing vouchers. Let's go. Let's get into it, Baltimore. Baltimore County Home Act. Make me feel like I'm at home. Home sweet home. What are your thoughts on this? 410-319-8888. Okay, let's kick it off with one of my favorite loyal listeners. Just one. But he's always checking in, got something great to say. Gene from Pikesville, living in Baltimore County. Gene, talk to me, sir. What's your take?
Farazi, so my check cleared, huh? Is that what's going on?
Your check cleared, Gene.
All right, so I'm your favorite then.
All right, you're hilarious, Gene.
I know. I love y'all.
Hey, man. Thank you. We love you too, Gene. So, Gene, talk to me, sir. You're out in Baltimore County.
No, I'm actually in Baltimore City. I'm one block from the Baltimore County. I live in Upper Park Heights, but Lower Pikesville.
Now, oh, that's right, Gene. That's right. You live in that place called, what they call it, Limbo.
Yeah, see.
Between the heaven and earth, yeah.
If you live in Upper Park Heights and
right.
from Southern Park Heights, people think we live in the middle-class neighborhood, but the people in Pikesville know that we live in the ghetto. See, this is the ghetto of Pikesville.
The ghetto of Pikesville, therefore the name of your neighborhood is Lower Park Heights.
Lower, you got it. There you
Lower
go.
Pikesville, you Upper Park Heights. Got you. All right, Gene, so what do you think about...
Hey, here you go.
Here you go.
So the segregationists push back, right?
Yeah.
Against the integrationalists. When we got segregation became unconstitutional, that was Brown versus the Board of Education, right? And so there was a lot of pushback, and one of the pushbacks that came about was de jure and de facto, you know, whether something was discriminatory or you could segregate if it was de jure or de facto. In other words, like if it's illegal because of the laws and policies that were made de facto.
Right.
De jure. And then if you didn't do anything that broke the laws or the policies, then you can discriminate and you can segregate based on de facto.
Okay.
Okay? And so what we have here is we're talking about a morality, whether or not, because you're voting, right, whether you want to do this or you don't want to do it. And so if you don't want to do it, you're not breaking the law, but you're still discriminating, right? Isn't that, am I?
Yeah, probably? I mean, that sounds pretty good. Yeah.
Okay, so here we go.
Okay.
So if the landlords in Baltimore, wherever, don't want to accept the vouchers, they're not breaking the law.
Well, this is only in Baltimore County.
But it's in Baltimore County, but
right.
But remember the Brown versus the Board of Education, which is so far-reaching, applies to the 14th Amendment, right? Based on so as long as it's not you're not setting a policy or a law which is de jure, then it's de facto.
So, and do you think it's going to help or hurt the county?
Well, it all depends whether you're the landlord and
whether you're the tenant,
white supremacist, and who do you want in your property. Then it's a morality question,
right?
You know, so in other words, like, well, I don't like black people. I don't want they dirty up the houses and they mess up the neighborhood, so I don't want them. But that's de facto. That's.
But it might just not be only black people, though.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying how. You can discriminate. I don't want Chinese in there.
Right.
You're not breaking. It's not de jure. It's de facto.
I hear that. All right, Gene. I like the de jure versus de facto. Okay.
Right. But that's where we are now, because integration is such that when the segregationists push back, they won the battle of de jure and de facto. They are de facto racist supremacists, and they are not breaking the law.
All right. Thank you so much, Gene, for kicking us off tonight. 410-319-8888. Folks, we're talking about the Baltimore County Home Act. This is the act that would pretty much protect renters from being discriminated against because they receive federal housing vouchers. What are your thoughts on this? 410-319-8888. Do you think this is going to help or hurt the county of Baltimore? This helped to remove some level of discrimination. Should we adopt here in the city of Baltimore? Should the city of Baltimore think about this? Because this puts certain levels of responsibility on landlords as well as allowing folks that may get federal housing vouchers a little bit more opportunity or access to housing. Let me know your thoughts. 410-319-8888. Leo, Mr. Leo Barrows from Bolton Hill, Baltimore City. Leo, what's your take on it, sir?
Brother Faraji Muhammad, how you doing?
I'm good, Leo. How are you?
Well, my take on it is that it's well-intentioned. It's an effort to address racism, institutional racism, and to that extent, it bespeaks of some semblance of decency on the part of Baltimore County, knowing full well that we got a lot of landlords in Baltimore County and Baltimore City and a lot of white folks and black folks who don't want low-income people or poorer people as they see them in their neighborhood come hell or high water. So although this is a step in the right direction, it officially outlaws discrimination. We know that the landlords and the institutional racists will find ways to obstruct justice. They're still going to find ways to keep you out. But at least it speaks to an issue of class. You know, it's not just about race.
Yep.
It's about class. And yep, there are black people who believe that they're white people. They act just like some of the racist white folks, and they're not in the struggle for liberation or decency or fair play either. So what can you say other than this is a positive, it's a positive on the record development? And you raised the issue about the city having something similar or should be taking that action quite naturally. Let's see what Brandon Scott has to say about that. Let's see what Mayor Bernard Jack Young has to say about that. Let's see what the Greater Baltimore Committee, the rich white folks who control the economics of this city, let's see what they say. They're the shadow government in this city. Most people, many of our people, and I know I'm stereotyping them purposefully, but many of these people who are prominent as they see it, the upper class, care less about the survival or the well-being of anybody else. They have been acculturated and they've been in the position. They were born middle class or upper class, and some of these folks continue to thumb their noses at anyone who they deem not to be of their class.
And that's gonna
be a continuing scenario in America.
Absolutely.
What America is fundamentally about. It is about bias. And thank God we've got some people who have a heart and some people who have a conscience and are credible enough and brave enough to at least advocate justice for the continuing and to fight the injustice that will always prevail.
There it is. Hey, Leo, thank you. Thank you so much for checking in. We truly appreciate it. So Leo saying that it is a good positive step on paper, and that this is really about class, not as much as about race, but it is about class. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Here's my thing on this. Big question to me is, does this open up the floodgates? Does this open up the floodgates, folks? The floodgates of, you know, you putting people into a community, right? And I'm wondering, like, if you put a family into a community that has a housing voucher, and, you know, one, what type of community are they going in? Are they going into a community that has a comparable income situation? Or are they going to a community that's a little bit higher, right? And then once you put them into that community, is there some way that neighborhood, that block, can kind of prepare or welcome that new family? See, I would think that if I'm living in a neighborhood, and then, you know, I know that there are a couple of properties within my on my block that are open for housing vouchers, then, you know, that block leader or that community association should have a conversation with those community members. Not out of a space of fear, but just out of a space of, okay, here's what we're going to do. Now, I remember I was working in one community, and this was a thing that came up. You had a couple of residents that people did not necessarily want them in the neighborhood, or rather, there was a house that was available. It was being rehabbed, and it was going to be rented. And the community, the block, was saying, well, before the landlord rents this space out, we want to be able to kind of be a part of the decision-making process to determine who and what are we allowing into the community. Does that need to happen on this end? Does that need to happen on this side? Some people say that that's a form of profiling, right? But let me just tell you, folks. Let me just tell you, before we automatically jump into that space, I want us to consider that if you go to some of the quote-unquote better neighborhoods of Baltimore City or any major city that has a certain income level, a certain culture, that's what community associations do normally. That's not like out of the ordinary. That's a normal thing. They sit down and they have conversations. Especially in a lot of areas, like if you're renting space, you're renting houses, the community association or that community leader will have a discussion with that landlord and say, look, who are you looking at? Because the landlord on paper may have some responsibilities, but let's be real, folks. Some landlords don't do their job. They're not going to do it at all, nor will they do it thoroughly. So they're just thinking about, I need to fill this place. I need to get this rent coming in. I need to get the ball rolling. So some landlords are not thinking about, because one, some of them are not from the communities that they are putting, that their homes are in, that these homes are in. They're not thinking about the culture of that community. They're not thinking about certain things. So it's going to be the responsibility of that community association, that block leader, whoever that's in that neighborhood, to ensure that whatever new family is coming in, understand. I remember when I moved in with my family to one neighborhood, we had a couple of knocks at the door, literally. Hey, welcome to the neighborhood. I'm so-and-so, such-and-such. We're part of the community association. I'm telling you, never had this happen to me in my life. And then... Once we got there, it was like this ongoing, like, hey, we just check it in. Y'all all right? This is happening all across the country. So there are a lot of considerations here. Folks, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I got Michelle from Parkville, Mr. P, and my man, Dr. Marvin Perry from Morgan State University. He's going to chime in on the conversation as well. Look, I want to hear from you. 410-319-8888. You can also check us out on our Facebook page at WEAA, the voice of the community. And for Raji Muhammad, stay riding with us. A whole lot is coming up in the second 30 of For the Culture here on WEAA. We'll be right back.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
All right, peace and welcome back to For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host for Raji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. All right, we're talking about this new act called the Baltimore County Home Act. And this is an act where Baltimore County has narrowly approved a piece of legislation that will prohibit landlords from ejecting renters solely because of renters' use of a federal housing voucher. It helps to kind of just put a real big dent in housing discrimination based on income. Now, the Baltimore County Council had 4 Democrats that voted for the bill and 3 Republicans that voted against the bill. The bill is in law. The bill is a law now. And so the county executive, Mr. Johnny Olszewski Jr., he believed that this is a good piece of legislation because he says, quote, discrimination in any form is wrong. I want to get your thoughts about this. I want to get your thoughts about this, folks. Do you think this is a good piece of legislation? Does it help or hurt the county? Because now you have this bill that will force landlords to do a little bit more, take care a little bit more of their properties. They're going to have to do additional paperwork and inspections. And it can also delay the time that renters can move into certain spaces because, hey, you know, these subsidies can be a lot of red tape. But landlords will also still have the opportunity to review criminal history, running credit checks, and requesting rental history, among other methods of making sure that they have qualified good renters in these apartments and into these homes. What are your thoughts on this? 410-319-8888. Let's go to Michelle in Parkville. Michelle, what's your take on this, ma'am?
So I'm glad that you brought up all those points of what the landlords can still look at, because I think, like, that's a very important point. I think this legislation, it's a step in the right direction. But the thing is, housing in the United States, there's a lot more problems than just one bill. And, like, that one bill is going to solve. And mm-hmm. it's going to take a lot of effort. And, I mean, there are a lot of people out here, people that don't even have vouchers, that are just afraid to leave where they are. They can't really move because housing in America is just very expensive. It's very hard to, like, find affordable housing.
Yeah.
Even if you have a voucher. And so I think, like, I mean, whatever actions our county government can take are good, and we need to keep pressuring them to try to work out a way to have affordable housing for our citizens, because it's not right.
Does this open up the floodgates, though, for some problems when you bring families that have vouchers into a neighborhood that may not want that situation to happen?
Well, yeah, I think that's a problem. But I think that's a problem because our society is so segregated
yeah.
and that we don't want to be around people that are different from us, and that, like, we want to have these bubbles that are protected with gates and security guards and police and all that. And so, I mean, whatever, like, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a big push to try to get people to integrate. But the thing is, people don't realize we're, like, as segregated as we were in the 1940s, you know?
Yeah. 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 So, what do you think that this is something, Michelle, that we need to consider here in Baltimore City?
I mean, I think, yeah, we should consider, we should see how it works. I'm not an expert on, like, renting policy on policy like this, but I think we need to, like, push our representatives to look at different ways to confront this issue, because it is a crisis for
yeah.
people.
Yeah, absolutely. Michelle, I appreciate you for checking in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think Michelle brings up some valid points. It is a crisis. People still do operate like it's the 40s and 50s in their minds, right? And, you know, let's place this into a different concept or context. Those who have housing vouchers are not always Black. Can we say that? Yeah, I think we could say that. They're not Black folks. It doesn't mean just because you have a housing voucher, that means, or you are a part of low income, that you all automatically are Black. It doesn't work that way. Let's be honest. There's certainly a lot more white people in this country than Black people, and there are certainly a lot more poor white people in this country. Come on. Let's talk about that. All right, let's go to Dr. Marvin Perry here at Morgan State University. Dr. Perry, what's your take on this, sir? Thank you for checking in.
Raji, education. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure to come and talk with you.
Yes, sir.
I think any laws that are on the books that fight discrimination and fight segregation are positive laws for the Black community. We need laws to prevent us from being discriminated against and against unfair housing.
Right.
However, I want to add this, that as we start to look at communities of color
mm-hmm.
and middle-class communities and other communities alike, there are some form of standards that we want to maintain in order to have a fair and equitable market value. And so as we look at more communities are being broken apart, and where we had a lot of home ownership you find a number of communities or streets or blocks or whatever we want to call them that have vacant properties for whatever the reason. One, someone passes away. Two, someone borrows against the house. There's no more equity. And so that person either doesn't pay the mortgage or they can't sell. So they have to go into a rental process, and other things happen.
Yeah.
But as we start to see this progression in rental, we also have to think about this. How do we balance out our communities where we can keep communities, some of our communities, in more communitive housing ownership situations? And then how do we add newer communities with more affordable housing? There's so much open properties. You're seeing it on North Avenue when they're tearing down 4, 5, 6, 7 houses, and then you see all this open space, and then you go in and you don't build one big house,
mm-hmm.
but you build a house that has a number of units that can be incorporated in that. So what I'm saying to you is that we also need to think about how do we restructure some of these old big buildings to make them smaller in units,
mm-hmm.
and allow more people who may want to rent and own or what have you to have a better opportunity to maintain it financially. And so that's all about redeveloping, retransforming cities. Washington, D.C. has done a good job. Philadelphia and other places have done. You can't have these big houses. Sometimes you got to break them down and create smaller units where people can afford.
You're absolutely right. Dr. Perry, it's always a pleasure to hear from you. Thank you so much for your insight on this. Let's go to Mr. P. Mr. P., what's your take on this? I want to definitely expand on what Dr. Perry said. But Mr. P., what you got to say, sir? Thank you for your patience.
How you doing, Farajic?
I'm good, brother.
I agree with what the doctor just said, and a prime example of that is the Lexington Terrace houses and the Murphy homes, the townhouses now. Yes, and that would work also.
Mm.
You know, that I was watching something last night, but James Baldwin said about urban renewal, he called it Negro renewal.
Mm.
You know, and what they were doing up in the Bronx, they were burning the Puerto Ricans out of their properties.
Mm.
You know, and then, you know, they were calling it redlining.
Right, right, right.
You know, so they redlining, replaced it with fire and stuff like that. But the doctor had a good point. You know, and I think it's going to start again with where Freddie Gray lived at, because they are doing something. They're going to do something down there to try to shape up and get out the bad seeds of that area and stuff like that.
But let me ask you this question, though. Here's the thing. Here's the big question. You ready for this, Mr. P? I know you love to have this thought-provoking talk. Check this out. Is it necessarily a bad thing?
No. No, it's not necessarily a bad thing. No, because it's a good thing. It'll work, but a landlord and a property owner, they can do what they want to do with their property.
Well, here's what I think that needs to happen, which is part of what this Home Act is about. A lot of landlords, whether you're in the city or the county, aren't taking accountability of their property. They're not taking responsibility. They're not being accountable for their property, nor are they being accountable to the folks that are renting their property. We know we have a huge issue in the city of Baltimore where you have an exorbitant amount of landlords that can rent property and they don't live anywhere in the city, nor do they live in the state in some cases.
Now, that's the big push. I just said it. They're going to do what they want to do with their property. But what you talked about earlier, everything being written down on paper, is that going to pass? Is this going to happen? And stuff like that. That's like a wait-and-see game.
Well, see, this is it. This is going to pass. So this is already, the county is saying, yes, we're going to put this act in place to alleviate some discrimination. But the onus still lies on the landlord to do their part of making sure that the paperwork is straight, that the inspections, which, look, trust me, I'm all for that, because I'm sick and tired of people who need homes. I mean, some people legitimately need housing assistance, right?
Yes.
So why should we penalize them for that? Now, if there are those who like to, quote unquote, scheme and trying to, you know what I mean, trying to use the system so that way they can, you know, they can pay less in rent, I'm certainly not for that. But because it becomes a problem. But if you got seniors, those who are in special needs, you have the individuals like that, they put them in quality housing. Don't put them in some ragtag shack.
That's another growing thing that's happening in the inner city.
Yeah.
So the inner city, they build these apartments like they have up there near North Avenue and Rosedale area. And then, you know, the population just keep growing.
Right.
Citizens. So I think they would rather build those type of environments and then put them in there. And then when it comes to us, it's like, wow, what are we going to do? Because this and that, we don't want the crime. We don't want them there, period. We don't want, you know, so it's going to be a challenge.
It's going to be a challenge.
I agree with it that change the laws and, hey, we got to live too.
There it is. Mr. P, appreciate you. Always good to hear from you. 410-319-8888, folks. We're talking about the Baltimore County Home Act. This is the act that is going to allow, basically prohibit landlords from rejecting renters solely because they use federal housing vouchers. Let me go to my Facebook page, Faraji Muhammad, and you can check us out as well as WEAA. But let me go to share with you just a little bit of what people are saying on Facebook. Anthony checked in and said, yes, the housing bill passed, but landlords will use credit and criminal history as a way to not rent. That's true, but they got to justify that. They have to justify that, right? They can't just say, well, we're not going to rent if you don't have no criminal history. You would have to justify that. Otherwise, then that landlord is going to put themselves in a whole lot of trouble. But landlords may be trying to finagle how to not rent to certain renters, even though they passed the credit check, even though they passed the criminal history background check. They may just not like the renters, and they may feel that way. Yeah. But I'm going to go back to my original point, folks, that making sure that this integration, not necessarily of races, but this integration of classes and this integration of culture is a smooth transition, because at the end of it, that's why you need to have a member of that community. A member of that community that's helping the landlord or to try to determine. And I know this might sound a little weird, but this is what happens in your most wealthiest neighborhoods. They do not allow certain individuals into the neighborhoods. They vet. And some of us might be like, well, why did he do that? That's not equal. That's not right. Well, if you want to keep the neighborhood a certain way, if you want to keep the neighborhood a certain way, but again, you got to go back to making sure that communication is there. Let's go to the phone lines, 410-319-8888. Who we got here? Let me go to Jamila. Then I got Smitty, Lamont, and Bobby. Jamila, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take?
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And my take is that I believe that with every law policy that's passed, there will be some kind of loophole, and you already touched on that.
Yeah.
So perhaps they may just do as well to do a little homework to kind of get ahead of the game to figure out what kinds of things besides credit or criminal background that will be used against people seeking housing. Now, I've been a landlord in Baltimore City, not in the county, and I didn't use Section 8, and I still ended up with the tenant that I had to take to court to get out because he was trifling, and I had neighbors who were even more trifling. Right. So, I mean, we're talking about treating people as individuals rather than just painting this broad negative stroke.
Right.
And another thing I wanted to say about that is, can we come up with a marketing campaign? We need more positivity and to shed light on positive images. All these designers out here, all these statisticians, all of these folks that we have that can put together a good marketing campaign. We need to be our own champion, if you will, because no matter what we do, you know it. No matter what happens, somehow we are always pushed in that negative light.
I agree.
Where I live at in South Baltimore, there's somebody ignorant on Facebook right now who puts out something about a potential housing project that could be going up. And the first thing that she has to say, Silva, whoever you are, was she and I listening anyway, but she would say something like, oh, it's going to be Section 8 and it's going to be all black. And first of all, don't put us
yeah.
in this hole.
Yeah, that's why I agree.
You know what I mean? So I just wanted to touch on that.
Hey,
we need
Jamila,
a campaign with every policy pass.
Which you're, when you say you are a landlord for this type of policy, as being a landlord, and if you decide that you want to expand your enterprise into Baltimore County, do you feel like this policy, does this help or hurt the county? Does it help or hurt you as the landlord? You know, hearing this, what's your overall sentiment?
I cannot really directly speak on it. I have no experience with the Section 8 at all. I'm
okay.
not against it as a landlord. I'm definitely not. It's something that I have considered in the past anyway.
Right.
Yeah, but then there tends to be a lot more stringent rules to follow. And that's not to say that I'm a slumlord or anything, but there are just certain things that,
right.
you know, for instance, the house that I live in right now, if I want to rent it out, mind you, I'm living there, my child's living in it, but I have to go a lot of extra steps just to sign on with the federal housing program.
Right.
But that option. That's all. It's,
but do you think, but does this help to alleviate discrimination from your vantage point, and does it help to for those who truly need housing assistance to get them into decent homes?
On the surface, I think it can be used to alleviate discrimination, but
okay.
as it's been brought up before, you know, people have their ideas about black folks. Black folks have ideas about black folks.
Yeah,
they're not
come on.
Always positive. So we just need to do better for ourselves to constantly put ourselves in positive light, because, you know, everybody's going to pick us down. So we have to do what we need to build ourselves up. And that starts with putting out some real facts and some statistics, just what you spoke to, which we are not the main ones on these types of programs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
Jamila, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in. Let me throw this out there very quickly, folks, because one amendment to the bill exempts small landlords from the requirement. The amendment was proposed by county councilperson Bevins, Quirk, and Jones, and it exempts landlords who own three or fewer properties if those properties have four or fewer units each. The exemption would not apply to landlords with similar properties who hire a management firm or agent to rent their properties. So this amendment, according to County Councilman Quirk, says it protects small and pop landlords. Let's go back to the phone lines, hear what you got to say. 410-319-8888. Smitty from Northwest Baltimore, and Lamont from Baltimore County. Smitty, talk to me. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, Faraj, thanks for taking my call.
You
I look are. At it like this here. It can be a winning ticket for those who are in need of opportunity to live wherever they need to live. But we have to also look at it. When we have federal guidelines, a federal law, which is federal subsidized money that has to do with vouchers, then the government must step in and make sure that there's no discrimination as far as how taxpayers' money is being distributed. Also, we need to look at a long time ago, we had the GI Bill, which was for veterans. A lot of those veterans, even though they had the GI Bill way back then, they could not live in certain designated areas. But I think that this new bill is a new revival. It's a wake-up call. And I just heard you say that it's going to be fair if you got three or more.
Yeah.
Even with that, it'll make the ones, even though the people who are below that, as far as the guidelines go, it'll make them come in the check.
Mm.
We always got to start somewhere, but awareness and opportunity to give people the free obligation to go wherever they can go that'll and live without being with the harshness treating of being discriminated by, unjustified. And I think it's a step forward in Baltimore County, and I do hope that Baltimore City would adopt that same practice. When we talk about federal money, we have to talk about federal guidelines that comes with the money.
You're right. Hey, Smitty, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in from Northwest Baltimore City. Let's go to Lamont, Baltimore County. Then I want to hear from Bobby and Miss Diane. Lamont, what's your take?
I think the government shouldn't be telling landowners who they can rent to. This isn't about discrimination in terms of race, gender, sexual orientation. This is people who may say, I just don't want to deal with the process of dealing with a federal program, which the voucher program is.
Right.
And I think individuals need to have their right, especially if you're a small homeowner. If you have a 4-bedroom or more, you have to allow them to have access to your house or rent your home. I don't think that benefits anyone. I mean, it's problematic to a person who has a nice-sized, medium-sized home, and they have to open up the door to allow people with vouchers in. On conversely, there are plenty of people who only will rent to people who have voucher program because they know the systems and they're good with getting whatever rent they get. But there are some people who may say, I don't want to deal with that process. And let me also about the voucher program, it's not a black program. There are plenty, and it's not a poor program. It's merely a program to give rental assistance to all who meet the qualifications.
Yeah.
You can have a regular job making decent money, but if you have certain criteria in your family, number, size, special needs, or whatever may case be, you may qualify for a voucher. So I wish we stopped looking at it from the point that this is a program for blacks when it isn't. It is a general program. It benefits everyone.
Yeah.
Probably more whites than blacks.
Right.
But it just isn't we hear discrimination, we get all tensed up. This has nothing to do with discrimination as we know. This has to do with owners having the right to do what they want to do with their property, not in terms of saying, no, I can't rent it to you because you're black or Latino or white.
But Lamont, we can't skirt around the fact that landlords have been discriminatory in who they rent their properties to.
Well, that's in any place you go. For instance, if I lived in, let's say, New York, there are certain buildings I can't rent.
Right.
If I don't make
right. Which is the point
money,
of this.
If I don't make a certain amount of money, I can't live there. It doesn't matter that I can say, no, I can get the rent. But if you don't make a certain amount of money going in, and even in Baltimore, if you put up in some of those places downtown, if your income ain't a certain level, they say no. So what is the difference? Again, this isn't about poor people because there are plenty of people who work every single day making $50,000, $60,000 who qualify based on their family for some type of voucher assistance.
Now, I hear
you. This isn't the mom with multiple kids not working only.
No.
People who run the gamut who meet federal standards, and as a homeowner, people may say, I don't want to deal with the paperwork because you're talking about federal laws. And you're talking about a lot of rigmarole, inspections and stuff. You may say, no, I just want to rent my house. I don't want any
Here's the only thing about that. And Lamont, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for checking in from Baltimore County. One of the things is, again, getting back to that point, that sometimes, you know what, there are some people who are decent landlords, and they say, you know what, I don't want to get into it. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're like slumlords. I get that because it's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of accountability. But then it's like one or two bad apples will spoil the bunch, folks. I mean, when you have landlords that don't care nothing about their property and they just trying to get a dollar and they just going to rent their property to whoever, they don't cut the grass, they don't fix nothing, you know, and they put people in spaces. They put people in spaces, the house not inspected, the power is out, the plumbing is terrible. I mean, look, when we talk about housing in this country, when we're talking about housing vouchers, this isn't just a legal issue. This is a civil rights issue. This is a civil rights issue, folks. This country has been dealing with housing discrimination for years. For years. And at the end of the day, if we cannot provide quality, decent, safe, functional homes, right? if landlords are not taking it upon themselves to see themselves as being the protectors of that, then, you know, sometimes government intervention may have to happen, folks, to force people to just do right. I'm sorry, you know, because I'm tired of hearing the stories of people who go into these spaces by landlords, and they're just like, they're terrible. Absolutely. And I've had personal experiences. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. So, yeah, the government may be trying to, you know, cross some boundaries here, but at the same time, when you're dealing with families, when you're dealing with health, when you're dealing with just people just want to live in a decent place, come on, come on. Look, folks, we're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, got so many people that want to check in, and I'm definitely going to get to you. Bobby from West Baltimore, Miss Diane from Southeast, Jay, Mike, and Latasha. Let me hear what you got to say. Also, in the next hour, we got to talk about the execution or planned execution of Rodney Reed down in Texas. Let me tell you what this story is about, but more importantly, why folks are saying to the governor of Texas, please, governor, put the execution on a stay. Grant a stay for Rodney Reed. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely.